VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. And this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And I want to welcome everybody, all the regulars. Thanks for coming back. We need you, as you know. And if you're new to the show, and we met some people this week who might be listening in, welcome. Try to stick with us for an hour. And you never know, everybody learns something either from us or from the callers. Unlike most shows, we are here in the studio live. It is the first full day of spring, and it's starting to feel just a little bit nicer outside, too. I like that. But most shows are pre-recorded, and you get to sit there if you want to and listen to what the host wants to say, talk about subjects that interest the host. You can take control of this show, and you can pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255, or the easy way, 222-TALK, and you can tell us what you'd like to talk about. Callers always go directly to the head of the line. We will have a trivia question today and a whole bunch of information. I am very, very sorry to say that once again we're talking about hurricanes on a Saturday. Puerto Rico is absolutely devastated, and they need all the help that you can give them. It seems like somebody's always picking our pocket these days for poor people in a disaster area. But by gosh, they are there, and they are in real, real hurt. So there's going to be some ramifications of this hurricane season on certain market segments also, and Adam and I will discuss that a little bit today. I kind of hate to be accused of looking forward to profiting off of people's misery, but let's face it, if you're a market investor, you might as well look ahead a little bit, the market does, and see what opportunities are there for us. And then I suppose you could say if a really nice person who makes a nice profit out of all this could give some of it back to the damaged areas. That is a personal thing. It's up to you.
Well, and it's going to hit you in the pocketbook, too, because I guarantee you your insurance rates are not going down next year based on what's happened this year. So you have to plan for that, and you should probably even put it in your budget right now.
Absolutely.
So you're going to lose some money based on this. You might as well make some money based on this, too.
I just passed a gas pump at $2.66.
Exactly. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit.
I figured you might get to
that. You probably already noticed it.
It seemed like it took a little while to get here,
mm-hmm.
but you knew it was coming.
Oh, gas wasn't going to stay that low for that long.
No.
That just wasn't going to happen.
So we've got that, and we have the dollar is changing value a bit. I will talk about that a little bit. The Federal Reserve had a meeting, and it was partly predictable. Rates stayed the same. But there's more to that meeting, and it was not necessarily predictable, but those of us who are Fed watchers, some because they love the Fed, and some are more like me because they hate the Fed, and we'll tell you what the ramifications of that are going to be.
Since we're on the topic, you know what my favorite part of that meeting was?
The part when it ended?
Well, yes, and the fact that the market didn't react to it. Now, do you
Isn't
remember a year or two ago, what would have happened after that meeting?
It would have been one day straight up and one day straight down.
There would have been some serious volatility,
yep.
and it didn't happen. So I'm really happy to see that. We were complaining about it back then. It just, the market should not be so Fed dependent, and hopefully that's what's happened here.
I absolutely agree. So tell us what actually did happen. We know what didn't happen.
Well, there was a lot of other stuff that didn't happen this week. If you look at the results, all three indexes closed within 0.5% of where they started. So on the surface, it really looks like nothing happened this week. But that wasn't the case at all. You have to dig in, though, to really see it. And so there were some trends that have happened this month that are reversing trends that have been in place throughout the year, the rest of the year.
Well, and over time, too, September being historically the worst month in the market.
Right, and we're up a percent. Up, so, yeah, so that's a very positive outcome for this month to date. Now, there's still time for that to reverse itself, too. Let's hope it doesn't. But under the surface of this market, this month we're seeing some real reversals in what has happened. So there's been a lot of areas that haven't done very well year to date, but now are outperforming in September.
The small caps.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's one of the big ones.
Love it.
Ironically, the small caps are one of the big areas
that's happening. I love the implication and the activity.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the small caps haven't fared as well, and there's been a number of reasons for that, but that's kind of been a trend over the last 8 years as well, since the recovery and the Great Recession. They just haven't done as well as large caps have. But this month, we're seeing that reverse in a somewhat major way. So hopefully the trend continues. The other one is value stocks. Recently, they've been out of favor. This month, we're seeing dividend payers come back into favor. And I really like that because we're big into value stocks.
It always happens. If you try to predict it, you'll be wrong. So yep. I just stick around in that arena and wait for the
If you try and play the value versus growth game, you're never going to get it right. It comes and goes, and things fall in and out of favor. The better way to invest is to buy the blend, buy a little bit of each, and just hold, because you'll never guess which one is going to come and go correctly.
And another interesting thing that went on this week, there was a reversal, as you said, in some of the hot things are now cold and the cold things are now hot. But the bulls and bears sentiment stayed exactly the same.
But the stocks that were out of favor with the bulls were actually going up this week instead of the opposite, which has been true all year.
The net was zero on paper. We talked a little bit last week about how statistics are being out of whack because of all the storms.
Exactly.
And we'll talk some more about that. But this is another one. People are switching sides.
Yeah, but the net effect being almost nothing.
And the bottom line on that is you don't want people too bullish on the market, because then you get too many little players in there and it starts to become chaotic. And that's a pretty sure sign that there's trouble ahead.
No doubt about that. One area that didn't change this month is stocks with international exposure, and most of that is due to the continually weakening dollar. So, and companies that sell overseas and are based in America, their goods look cheap to foreigners right now, so they're selling more, and that's ultimately benefiting them and their stock price.
Weak dollar, good thing, bad thing?
There's no right answer for that, because there's an upside and a downside to both sides of that coin.
My favorite Ronald Reagan quote, after the obvious ones like government is the problem, is the dollar is just too darn strong, and the world went nuts. He was right.
I could get in a debate and I could pick either side. Absolutely. And argue it very eloquently, I think.
But if you're a domestic manufacturer,
sure,
and especially those who are returning within the shores, you're going to love the low dollar, because your stuff is going to sell like crazy.
Exactly.
Look at Caterpillar. What a classic example.
Very true.
We spent all last year whining about Caterpillar and how awful it was, and declining sales domestically and all around the world, every quadrant of the globe. And now, bang! They're just moving.
No doubt.
It's fantastic.
So it really depends where your income comes from. It probably determines what your opinion on that topic is.
Yeah. What are you going to do next week? Absolutely nothing? Let it happen?
Yeah, more or less.
I can't see what's going on here, but I do want to talk about the Fed and the other things that happen. We'll do that right after the break, and I will come back with our trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm at 636-7888. And if you give them a call, Ken will probably pick up his own phone, and they are very, very professional and very, very competent. You look at crime statistics, you might want to give them a call sooner rather than later. All right, we're going to take a little break for now, and we'll come back with all kinds of fun things, and I'll dummy up a little conversation. I'm going to have Adam play the role of Janet Yellen for a few minutes and see what's actually going on up there. Don't go away. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And today's trivia question, brought to you by First Coast Alarm, is about jobs. If you are a young person going into the job market, what is the number one job today in terms of pay and satisfaction of your job? And it's a little bizarre, but not totally. And it's very relevant to the overview that we have of society today and corporate America. And I think I found it so interesting, and it's very applicable to some of the things that we were talking about in the break. But we'll get there. What is the number one job? You just have to come up with a title that's pretty close, because there's about four ways to describe it. Anyway, let's say what the Fed did not do this week was to raise interest rates. That was 100% expected, built into the market, the whole thing. The expectation for an increase in December had originally gone away. It has been creeping up to about 50-50. It crept up further to about 60-40 this week because of certain things that are going on.
I'm putting it at about 95.
I am too, and not for the reasons that you might think. There is a spike in inflation in many aspects coming, energy, materials, things that one needs in order to rebuild three large hurricane-damaged areas.
Yeah, hopefully in labor as well.
Yeah, labor will definitely. But if you need a job and you get any skills, head to South Florida, Puerto Rico, Texas,
Houston,
name it. Yeah. So an intelligent investor will be looking in those directions and saying what sectors are likely to benefit from this thing. But there's another thing going on at the Fed. They have been talking about reducing their bond purchases. This thing has a lot of different names, QE1, QE2, Operation Twist, QE3, QE9527, and all that. The Fed is a very, very dubious organization in the opinion of this analyst. So I said I was going to have Adam play the part of Janet Yellen, who is the Fed chairman, and ask some questions. So I will take the part of the Treasury Secretary for a moment, and I'm going to place a phone call to Janet and say, I got some bills to pay, and I don't have any money in the Treasury.
Just print it.
Well, I can't do that. I'm the Treasury Secretary.
We'll print it for you.
Thank you very much. How are you going to do that? You need some ink and paper?
No, not anymore. We actually do it electronically and just transfer it over.
Wow, what a deal. Where do you get it?
Where do we get the computing power?
Where do you get the money?
It appears out of thin air.
I'm $500 billion short. Can you front me $500 billion?
Absolutely.
Okay, how soon?
Well, we have to sell some paper.
Well, that, or you could just invent it, either one.
Sure.
Right now,
out of thin air.
They have taken their balance sheet from about $1 trillion to $4.5 trillion or so.
Right.
Where did that money come from?
Does anyone really know?
No, thin air. If you want to use some of the jargon, fiat money,
yeah,
that which is just created from nothing. So right now, the reason they've done all that is because our Congress spends more money than it takes in. So let's go right back to my old saying about all the evil in the world can be laid right at the feet of the U.S. Congress. Don't you just love it when they talk about paying for some proposal that they've got? People, you're about, what, $700 or $800 billion short of paying for what you already are spending?
Annually.
Yes. And you want to pay for a program? Why not just add it on? You're totally out of whack anyway. Big deal.
Yeah.
If they're sounding like they're saving us by making us pay for it, and to the one side of the aisle over there, it means raising taxes on rich people, and on the other side, it means cutting spending. That's why they can't ever get together on anything. So, Janet, you'll just make sure that if I release all my Social Security checks today, that we'll have the money on our account, right?
Well, don't worry. The money will be there.
Okay, good. And now, what are you going to do with the extra money that you get You've been buying bonds, tens of millions of dollars, billions of dollars. That's how you build up the balance sheet. You create money and you buy bonds. Why are you doing that?
Well, it was actually it was to smooth out this rough patch we were going through in the late 2000s.
Yeah, so what were you buying, the highest quality paper?
I think we own a little bit of everything right now, but no, not necessarily.
Yeah, and the whole purpose of it was to eliminate from the market some of the junk paper that we were developing 10, 12 years ago. So that worked, but you've been doing this now for years.
Many years.
Into the recovery.
About 10 years into the recovery now.
All right, so now, all of a sudden, what changed? Because you just announced this week that you're not going to do that anymore.
Well, we've been planning this for some time, as you know. We've announced that intention for quite a while.
And what's the purpose?
To unwind the balance sheet.
Why?
We think that the economy has recovered to a point where it can handle it.
All right, I have two big questions left. The first one is, what are you going to do with the money? You're selling bonds are maturing, which means treasuries and corporates are paying you actual money that you invented some number of years ago. And now they're maturing. And what you used to do is buy new ones every day with those that matured. And now you're saying $10 to $50 billion a month you're not going to repurchase. What are you going to do with the money?
Do we need to answer that question?
No, because no one will ask it but me.
No, I mean, taking off my Janet Yellen hat, I would say they need to destroy it, but that's not going to happen.
That is my entire point. This money has not proved hyperinflationary yet.
Well, we haven't even seen actual inflation, much less hyper.
And that's because the money doesn't circulate. There is a term in economics called the velocity of money. And that means when you put a dollar into the economy, I'll spend it on groceries. The people at Publix get part of it. The people who supply Publix get part of it. They earn money. They spend those same dollars again and then again. The velocity of money in the private sector is about 2.5, meaning if you inject money into the economy, your economic pie grows about 2.5 times further. Well, you've been hoarding this money by just buying bonds and selling them and buying them, selling them and buying them. So that money's not doing anything. If it's a 3-year bond, it takes 3 years to even repurchase something. So it's not inflationary, because inflation comes when more money's chasing the same or fewer goods and services. So all this money you created that in theory makes inflation happen hasn't happened. Now what? You got $10 to $50 billion a month in cash. Where are you going to put it? You going to put it in society? That's why Janet here got the thing right when he took his Janet hat off. Destroying it is the only possibility.
I mean, if they can create it logically, you would think they could take it out of circulation, destroy it, whatever you want to call it. But I don't think that that ever happens, as far as we know.
Are you a betting man?
Sometimes.
I would bet that they're not going to destroy one bit of it.
So where does it go? It just sits on their balance sheet as cash, like Apple?
Maybe. Maybe it goes into programs around the world for poor people.
But they're not part of the government. They're separate.
That's exactly right.
So I don't know.
For anyone. Oh, by the way, my final question before I hang up on Janet. What do you do on February 19th?
Disneyland with the kids.
And why is that?
That's my last day on the job, most likely.
Yeah, 18th better be. If Trump reappoints Janet Yellen, I don't know what I'll do.
I don't think he will, but I don't think that the person he replaces her with is necessarily going to be any better. I mean, they've all kind of been the same, haven't they?
Keynesians. They're all Keynesians now. They need a monetarist, a Milton Friedman, von Hayek, von Mises type in there. We've got to get people understanding that the government does not create the economy by how much or how little it spends. That is what caused us to get into this debt we've got. Now, there's another thing simultaneously going on over at the IMF, International Monetary Fund. The IMF, back in 2016, and we were telling you about this on Saturdays, the money that they use, the special drawing rights, which finance international transactions, it was all the reserve dollar years ago. That's called the Bretton Woods, for anybody who's heard of it. Well, the Chinese have been trying to get their currency, the yuan, into that, and they were allowed to do so in October of 2016. So now there are things like this Tuesday's headline, Trump to end the dollar as we know it by 2018. What they're referring to is that there is a decreased demand for dollars because Russia now will sell oil to China and they will accept yuan instead of the SDRs, which were mostly American dollars. That's been happening. I've been reporting on this for over a year between India and Iran. Same thing. They will take rupees and rials on their transactions, and it was never like this. What happens when the demand for anything, and this includes dollar bills, goes down? Their value goes down. You want to explain the falling dollar? I just did. What it means is that unless you can figure out how to benefit from a falling dollar, which a lot of our manufacturers can, and food growers and that sort of thing, you're going to think that everybody hates Trump or the economy's going to hell or something, and it's absolutely not true. This is a necessary thing, but that is exactly, back to your point, that is exactly why the Federal Reserve should not even think about doing this unless they will destroy the money and take it out of circulation, because that will increase the supply during a time of falling demand. Now, I know all that sounded very complicated, and I'll get off of my educated high horse after the next break, but watch for these things. You're going to start seeing certain things inflate even more than they do now, such as metals and energy, which are priced in U.S. dollars, which are falling. So there's some ways to make some serious money as an investor on this stuff if you know about them. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll bring it back to earth after the break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And good morning, Al.
Hello. Good morning to you. You know, now that the Fed is starting to unwind their balance sheet, so to speak, mm-hmm. How's that going to help or hinder people that own utilities and some of these closed-end funds where you're getting about, and also preferred stocks? You know, I'm kind of an income guy, and how's that going to affect me going down in the next year?
Well, it's going to decrease the demand for treasuries and corporate bonds, which is going to raise the interest rate, the effective interest rate, which means if you own individual stocks, individual bonds, you're probably going to see some devaluation. Now, if you're a bond investor, we've always liked bond funds because there's a constant turnover of the holdings in there.
We do both, actually.
I like them for long-term holding.
Yeah, really for individual bonds only, for really short-term bond ladders, and for longer terms, we use
which funds are typically used to fund required minimum distributions for people who are 70 and a half. But there are some other people who like them, too. But in general, you're going to see the erosion of the pricing of these things and the increase in the interest rate that results from it.
So the yield will go up for new purchases. Decrease in the value of
yes.
the assets.
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
But your effective yield, if you already own them, will not. So turning them over, and I don't really know how fast this is going to take place.
It's hard to say.
$10 to $50 billion a month, I almost hate to say it, but it's kind of peanuts.
Oh, it is.
compared to a $4.6 trillion balance sheet full of bonds, it is. But, yeah, there will be some negative impact.
Yeah, but the Fed, again, like you just said, they don't do anything quickly. I mean, you've seen how long it's taken them to raise interest rates. They've been talking about it, fixing to do it for 3 years, and it's just now happening. So, and even now, it's once every 8, 9, 10 months. So they're not gonna flood the market.
Yeah, the market impact will be a little bit different than the actual Fed decision to raise rates.
Mm-hmm.
in that that's a supply and demand thing. And I would think if anybody's wanting to get a mortgage, it should probably start pretty soon, because you'll see mortgage rates reacting negatively to this too, meaning going up.
Mm-hmm. What about these closed-end funds where you that are kind of mortgage-based, where mm-hmm. they borrow money and they also have capital that they put in, and they pay you an interest rate of probably like 7 or 8%. Now, are those going to be eroded through the asset value? I know you may still getting you still get your normal distribution, or the distribution could be cut, but will the asset value go down?
Market value will probably go down, but they're closed end, which means they're self-liquidating. So if you're going to hold on to the end, mm-hmm. then your yield's going to be the same, and if you're buying it for that reason, you should be fine.
Right. Okay. So what about the utilities?
They always react negatively to a rate increase,
yeah.
but then they always climb back, because eventually what's going to happen right. there is that you're going to see an increase mm-hmm. in utility pricing, which is regulated by the government, and mm-hmm. they have a monopoly control on it. So as their costs rise through the increased prices of energy and such, mm-hmm. they will apply for and get rate increases, mm-hmm. which means they'll up their dividends. So it's a self-correcting mechanism.
But short-term, you could see some pain in the yeah. utility sector.
Yeah, and I think if you wanted to get out of the utilities for a little while and sit on them for 6 months, you'd probably buy them back cheaper.
Yeah, it's not an area we're getting into right now.
Right.
Now, preferred stocks, and I got some in my portfolio, mm-hmm. which pay Digital Realty and some of the banks, where they pay anywhere from 4.5% to 5.5%, 6%. The value of those is going to erode. Is that correct?
Market value in the short run will most likely erode.
Uh-huh.
You're right. Now, right, well, if you're in them for the right reasons, and you sound like you are,
yeah, I get the money off of them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you lose money on paper, you don't lose money.
Right.
That's something we've tried very hard to teach our clients.
But if you get scared and sell, well,
that's when you lose money.
Yeah, it's true. So
you are thinking in advance. So you get to decide what strategy is going to make you happy.
Right.
You could get out of that kind of thing for a while, only to get back in it later.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be fine. But if you hold it and you understand that your particular net worth at any moment might be down a little bit, but long run, they're going to come back fine, then you should be good. But also, there are a lot of types of preferred, too, if they're the kind that are non-cumulative.
Yeah, cumulative and cumulative, non-cumulative and cumulative. And, you know, I have a hard time. Are most preferred on a 10-year basis, or are they forever?
A lot of them have time frames on. Some of them are less than forever, but very long.
Mm-hmm.
They usually do have an expiration. I'm not that big into them. One thing I've looked at is convertibles, and I've been in and out of those for a while, where mm-hmm. if interest rates and prices fluctuate too much, they'll go back and forth and give you a different form of return. Mm-hmm. But it's really not something we have focused on in our client group very much at all. It's not. There's nothing wrong with them. It just isn't something that really comes up on our radar very often.
Okay.
I'm sure it's very dependent on what company you're talking about, too.
Right. That's true. Right.
But an income investor has a lot of ways to do it. And one thing that we do see is under diversification of income items, mm-hmm. and that can be very dangerous. You sound like you're very well spread out in the income arena.
Yes. And also, I got stocks.
Okay.
Good.
And I got some individual bonds, and a lot of municipal bonds.
Okay, good.
That were bought probably 10 years ago, or seven to 10 years ago.
So they might actually have a decent yield?
Yeah, they get anyway 4.5% to 5%.
Not bad.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Now they might have some fluctuation coming up, too, depending on whether Congress mm-hmm. will ever get off its rear end and change our tax rates.
Right. Right.
If we lower those.
Yeah, if we lower marginal tax rates for mm-hmm. everybody, then it is going to impact the non-taxable munis.
Right. Okay.
But again, your yield is your yield once you own the thing. So if you're in a good mm-hmm. muni and you have a very great expectation of getting it paid back and you hold it to maturity, you don't lose a thing.
Oh, that's what I'm planning on doing.
Good. Yeah. But you sound like you're very smart that way. And that you've got your income ladder all set up and diversified and everything, which makes you pretty good for any event. It's now down to your personality and what's going to allow you to sleep
right
at night.
Yeah, that's right. Whether or not you get nervous or something whenever you have it. We've had some big drawdowns, in August. It was quite a bit of a loss, but he gained it back.
Right. Yeah. August was pretty ugly.
It was.
It was. Yes,
and a lot of people panic in that time. In fact, Adam and I will say many times on the show and in the office that sometimes the hardest thing about our job is doing nothing when you
exactly.
know deep down inside that that's the right thing to do, but you're scared.
Yeah.
Right. I just cut the TV off and go do something.
Exactly. That's the 24-hour news cycle makes living life a lot more scary than it used to be because they just talk
exactly.
about all the things you fear every day, all the time, and it didn't used to be like that.
That's one of the reasons I like to search headlines and bring them up. Adam and I were talking about this one a couple of minutes ago. Tesla could lose a quarter of its value. And we said, okay, what's wrong with that headline? Take out the word Tesla and put any stock in the world in there, and it's just as meaningful.
Yeah, that's right.
They can all lose 25%. They all did back in 08 and
that's
early
right. 09. Yeah, I went through that, too, so I know exactly what it was.
But experience is the best teacher, as you know.
Right. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, well, I appreciate it very much.
Well, thanks. We appreciate the call.
I usually want to listen to the program every week. So.
Thank you so much. It makes getting up in the mornings a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Yeah, that kind of thing, if you are really into investing, you listen to a guy like Al who understands, yes, there's going to be some ramifications. Yes, we can live through them. And then you got to evaluate for yourself, not only your personality, but say, why is this thing in my portfolio? And if the answer to that is because it pays me 4.5 to 5% of what I paid for it a while back, fine. Unless you have some reason to think it's going to go belly up.
Too often investors confuse holding something for income versus holding something for growth versus total return. And it really depends what type of investor you are and what your goals are, what you're going to hold. But a lot of times people own something for income and then freak out if the value drops. But who cares? You're still getting the income. It'll come back. Just relax.
That's exactly right. And I wasn't making this up when I said many, many times we look at each other and say, I know the right thing to do right now is nothing. August is one of those. Remember the January of 15,
yes,
was it?
I think so, yeah.
Where the worst 6 weeks I've ever seen.
It was awful.
Yeah, and yet we knew there was no reason for it, therefore it has to have an end and has to have a fairly quick end. All right, lots more when we come back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794 and tell him we sent you. Some of you know he recently became my son-in-law. How about that? Credit freeze, the big data heist I wanted to mention again. I can tell you all every Saturday for the next couple of years to freeze your credit, unless you have a distinct reason not to. And everybody will nod and smile and say, that's a really good idea, and you won't do it.
But it's a really good idea because you might think you're in the clear a year from now data was not compromised.
This was something that came up in our office this week, and I had not thought of it before this, but we got talking about this thing, and I think it was Adam that brought it up, actually, these crooks that are good enough to do that are also smart enough. They're not going to do it today or tomorrow.
Well, there's that, because they'll let the hoopla die down and let people think it lull them into a false sense of security.
Yep.
Meaning, also,
I didn't freeze my credit, and I don't have any problem.
The sheer number of identities stolen, 143 million, they just can't get to them all right away to start. So this is going to go on for a long time.
Now, at a minimum, get yourself an account with Credit Karma, which will give you your credit score.
And also let you view all your open accounts.
Yep. And just check it periodically. But that's not enough.
Because once it shows up there, it's already been
you
opened.
You got trouble.
Yeah.
So If you Google it, Google freezing your credit in Florida. Now, rather than be a hypocrite, I have done that. I wrote 6 letters, one for Sarah, one for me, to each of the 3 credit monitoring services, and sent them certified mail, and we're freezing our credit. Now, that does not mean that you cannot use your credit. I think this is the number one fallacy that people believe about credit freezes. It means you can't get new credit without your permission. And your permission comes in the form of thawing your credit.
And you don't have to go through all of that and send certified mail to the credit agencies. You can actually do it online.
Yeah, too. I wasn't getting anywhere that way, but I ran out of patience one day, did it. So I just did it the old-fashioned
way. But it is possible.
Yeah, and I thought it was. And then when you thought, by the way, if you're 65 or over and live in Florida, it's free.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. There are benefits to being my age.
Not many.
Well, Social Security.
Yeah.
Free credit. Medicare. Things like that. And another thing, think about your own situation. How many of you truly are in a position where you're going to be applying for a loan soon? A new mortgage, a new car, something like that. If you're not, freeze your credit. If you're going to buy a car in 18 months or something like that, freeze your credit now. Thaw it out for a week while people check your credit.
Yeah, it's only $10 per transaction. So yeah. every agency that you freeze it with, that'll cost you $10. Then to unfreeze, it'll be $10 each. Mm-hmm. So 30 bucks a pop.
And if you're, a seasoned citizen, you can get a better deal than that. So at a minimum, monitor. Some of you will want to get something like LifeLock. You probably don't need it if you're going to freeze your credit.
True. Also, keep in mind, if something does happen and your identity is compromised, be sure to file a police report immediately, because you will need it when other things start popping up, and eventually someone's not going to believe that you were actually compromised, and you're going to have a police report that shows that you have a history of this happening to you, and you will thank me later. Just if that happens to you, I hope it doesn't, but if it does, make sure that you go through all the proper motions and notify the cops and do everything you can to document that this has happened to you, because it doesn't just stop with opening new accounts. They can commit crimes in your name.
They can dip into your 401k.
I mean, it goes on and on and on. It's really scary.
It is, and we are not a big company, as you all know, or most of you know, and yet the number of our clients who have been impacted by this kind of thing is astronomical.
Yeah, it's not nothing to do with us. It's just that it's so easy these days. Your information is everywhere. I mean, the online world has so many benefits, but good golly, it has so many downsides too. Your information is just out there for everyone to get, and there's nothing you can do about it.
And another thing, if you are a resident of Florida or Georgia or Washington, D.C., go to the IRS.gov website and get a personal security PIN number. No one can mess with your tax returns. Imagine how you would feel, and I know exactly how people feel because they come in and tell me it happened to them. Imagine how you feel. You file your tax return, you're getting a refund, and instead you get a letter that said, oh no, we already sent you your refund, only you didn't get it because it wasn't you filing. That has happened to so many people, and it is absolutely avoidable. There is no charge to apply for a PIN number, and then every correspondence you have with IRS will go nowhere until you provide that PIN number and prove that it's you. These are easy things to do. They're inexpensive to free things to do, and it will avoid a hassle bigger than I promise you any of you ever, ever want to experience. So, like I said, I can tell you every week. But I did it, and you should do it. So please just sit down and discuss it and go online if you want to, or write the letters. We even have a sample letter. They're posted online at a lot of different websites. And use the one that's for Florida, though, because you get that little added benefit if you happen to be 65 and you do the letter right, then they won't charge you for it. Okay. That kind of stuff, you can talk about it forever, but the point is, you just need to do it. All right. We got about 10 more topics. Which one do you want to hit? Oh, Apple computer. You want to talk about Apple for a while?
Yeah, not necessarily computers, but I did want to talk about Apple. They had a pretty major announcement over the last few weeks about the new iPhones, and it's been all over the news. And so far as I can tell, the iPhone 8 has pretty sales have pretty much been met with the, about the excitement of, I don't know, crickets.
The Fed announcement yeah, that they exactly. were raising rates.
I think everyone is holding off for the X or the 10 or whatever you want to call it. But
well, at least some of the people in this room are.
Did they make a big mistake?
I guess in the vernacular of the natives, time will tell.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Apple to make mistakes, and maybe they plan for this. I don't know, but the lack of excitement around the 8 seems to be almost, I'd say it's palpable, but you can't see it, so it's the opposite of that. It's, yeah, it's been kind of a big dud as far as I can tell, and I'm certainly not excited about it. But the 10, now that's interesting.
That is exciting.
Even at $1,000, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money, but nobody would be paying that. Almost nobody would be paying that. You get it through your provider, and if you're eligible for an upgrade, they'll take a bunch off, and that sort of thing. I do not ever recommend that thing where you pay 20 or 25 bucks a month forever, and you keep getting new ones. It seems to me somewhere along the line there's diminishing returns on that one.
Well, yes and no, but at the same time, there is that plan, but there's also the plan where you just pay the 30 bucks a month and you actually buy the phone that way, and it's 0% financing. So that okay, is not well, a bad deal.
There's no rate I like better than 0%.
Yeah, so if you're going to pay $1,000 for it, why not spread it out over equal monthly payments with zero interest?
If you get if you're getting the same pricing structure at 0%, then sure,
yeah.
why not?
So just something to keep in mind. And also, I was shocked. We don't normally analyze individual stocks, but their stock price definitely took a little bit of a backwards motion since that announcement. And they had been run up pretty high this year, one of the better performing stocks on the index.
It's also possible that when the pre-orders start next month for the 10, they'll be astronomical and that stock could shoot right back up.
That would be a big gamble, but it could happen.
Yeah, this is why individual stocks are so risky, that we very, very seldom use them. But it does relate to the trivia question, which I'm going to actually give you. The number one job that young people are seeking now, average pay is $110,000 right out of school. It's called data science, engineering, or there's another name for it too. But basically, it's called data scientist. That means that every company who sells anything out there is putting the very highest priority on marketing now. They want to know everything about the demographics of the people that they might be selling for, identify populations, set pricing structures, and that kind of thing.
You know, when you go into your Facebook feed and there's an ad that targets you and it's got a picture of a T-shirt with the team that you happen to like, how did they find that out? That's what these people do.
Now, for those of you who are parents of kids going off to college and the kids are at all techie, here's what they need to learn. There's a programming language called Python. Neither Adam nor I had ever heard of it.
No.
If you are a qualified Python programmer, you will demand top buck in the market and you will never be unemployed, because that's what they're looking for.
I'm going home to teach my kids Python right now as soon
yeah,
as I learn
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. My brother was a Fortran programmer way decades ago. I was a COBOL programmer decades ago. And after that, we kind of all lost track of it because programmers weren't really needed to run apps anymore. So, all right, see you next week. Thanks for listening. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.